like it. Very good. All right, Mrs. Rule is going to speak to us. She has until 10:30, which is wonderful, plenty of time. I have known Mrs. Rule. I'm not going to age her or me, but I can't remember a time where I didn't know Mrs. Rule. Let me just say it that way. And I have watched their marriage from afar and close up. And honestly, I think everywhere they go, they are known for having a strong marriage. So like Pastor Rule said yesterday, maybe not all the pills are for you and you can leave some food on the table. I don't know what he was saying. Lots of analogies. But find the thing that is for you and take that and apply it. And I really hope we'll all be helped during this conference. So Mrs. Rule is going to come and speak for us.
Well, it is great to be here, and thank all of you for coming and for being here. And it really is an honor. And I've known Faith for a long, long time. And I just want to thank you for inviting us and for having the old people come in to do the marriage clinic. We're excited to be here, and we've been looking forward to it. And but just thank you to all of you. Thank you for, you know, you have to make this work. Some of you, if you have your kids or someone's watching your kids, or maybe you have to clean your house because someone's coming to your house, or maybe they have nursery here. But sometimes it takes, you know, some arranging of things to make it work. So thank you for being here. You are investing in one of the most important things of your life. And so thank you for taking the time and coming. And you all are such beautiful ladies. You're beautiful. And don't ever forget how much God loves you. You know, Valentine's Day, we should be so thankful that we get to be married. I have some of my dearest friends are widows. And they would give anything. They would give anything to have that man walk through that door and they hear those footsteps on the floor. They would give anything for that. So we need to be thankful for what we have and to appreciate it, and that we get to celebrate Valentine's Day with our husbands. But I also think about God, how he came down to earth and he died on a cross for us because he loved us so much. We've been given such love, such great love, and we're so undeserving. But God loves us anyway, and continually and unconditionally. And how great is that, that a Heavenly Father would love us so much, and we get to be his daughter, and we get to be in his family. And I think about that, too, on Valentine's Day, that we have such a love from our Heavenly Father. But, Faye, thank you so much for having my husband and I come. And I love that lady right there. We don't have a lot of time together, but I admire her. I love her. And I had a gift for you, a Valentine's gift, and it's sitting right on the bed in the hotel room. I'm so sorry. I thought I had it all together this morning, but apparently I did not. But I admire you and your husband and for what you're doing here, and just keep up the great work. You have an amazing pastor's wife, and from one pastor's wife to another, you can have a bond, and I can feel her heart, and she has a heart to love you, and her husband have a heart to want to reach people in this area. And so just love her back. Just love her back and appreciate her. And but Faith, thank you so much. You're an amazing lady. You really are. She should be the one up here, not me. She should be the one. She's so great, and she's such a wonderful person. But I'm so thankful, too, that you have a church that cares about marriage, that they would put this on for you and do all the work. And for those of you who've done food and decorating, and it's amazing, and you've put so much work into it, but you have a church that cares about your marriage. Not every church has a marriage conference. Not everyone does it. Not everyone puts one on. So be thankful that you have a church that cares about this part of your life and wants to invest in this for you. You have such a great place here. You really do. Just a great place. And I'm so thankful that I get to be married. I am thankful that someone actually picked me, and they wanted me, and they wanted to spend the rest of their life with me. And I do have a husband that knows me through and through, and he's still with me, and he's still madly in love with me. And so I know how blessed I am, and I never want to take that for granted. I never do. But, you know, I know that marriage does take work, doesn't it? It really does take work. We all know that, right? Well, they say that marriage is like a deck of cards. You start off with two hearts and a diamond, but once you get into it, you might need a club or a spade. Well, that's why we're here, is so we don't have to use a club or a spade. But I cannot do anything for your husbands today. They're doing that over there. But right here, let's just work on ourselves, and let's make ourselves a better wife to our husbands. Now, I wish that was easy too, but it's not. I wish that, know, we all have a dryer in our home for our clothes. I wish that I could just hop into the dryer for a few minutes and come on out, and I would be two sizes smaller, wrinkle-free, and hot. Just saying. If only it could just work that way, but unfortunately, it does not work that way. So I don't know about you, but I remember when I was a little girl, and maybe you were the same way, I dreamed about getting married. I dreamed about the guy who was going to pick me and what it was going to be like, and I dreamed about my wedding day. And in my dream, I remember getting all ready for my wedding. Actually, though, in real life, when I got married 47 years ago, like, I think I was in the bathroom with my mom, and I did my own hair, I did my own makeup, I put some polish on my nails. Damn, I was good to go, you know? Now they have a whole team. Like, where was the team for me when it was my time? Where was the person to do my hair, do my eyebrows, do my lashes, you know, do the nails? Where was my team back then? Now they have a whole team to do all this stuff. But back in my dream, I didn't have that dream. I didn't have the team. But what I did have is when the church doors opened and I stood there and I looked down that aisle and I saw that good-looking, handsome hunk of a man down there, and his eyes were for me, my eyes were for him. Everything in my life at that moment was perfect. Maybe you remember your day. It was just that perfect moment. Everything was just right. And in my dream, everything continued to go perfect in my dream. My husband had an amazing job. He made a ton of money. We had no problem about that. And we bought this big, beautiful house, and we had the white picket fence, and we had the kidney-shaped pool in the backyard. And then we had children, and they were so beautiful, and they were so well-dressed, and they got along perfectly. They never argued or anything. And my husband and I, we were crazy, crazy in love with each other, and it was passionate and exciting and sizzling and amazing. And my husband would come home every day from work, and he'd walk in the house, and he would proclaim his undying love for me, and he would have flowers and chocolates and gifts and diamonds, and it was great. And then I woke up. Then I woke up from my dream. And you know, that's when we learned that a marriage license really is just a learner's permit. That's what it really is. Like, is there really life after our wedding day? Like, how do we do this thing called marriage? How do we do it? But sometimes what happens is, you know, we're married, we're all here, we stay married, you know, and life is good, right? Life is fine. It's okay. And, you know, we settle into schedules, we settle into routines, and we get busy, we have work, we have kids. Kids have sports and schooling and homework, and we're running errands all over the place, and we have doctor's appointments and meals to make and all these things, and it just gets so busy. But sometimes it falls into kind of a blah, just kind of a ho-hum. Like a marriage, a husband and wife can just kind of fall into a same old kind of a relationship, right? Once you've been married for a long time. And you know, sometimes we do marry this great handsome guy, and sometimes our hunk maybe is kind of sunk a little bit, and maybe we feel kind of frumpy and not really very, you know, romantic or anything. And sometimes we can just settle into, our marriage can become like, maybe this is as good as it gets. This is what we have. Or maybe you might feel like your marriage is gone with the wind. I think there was a movie one time called Some Like It Hot. That's where I want to be, Some Like It Hot. What I'm trying to say is that sometimes marriages become average, ordinary, and mediocre. Those words are not in my vocabulary. I don't want to live there. I want to live up here. I don't want to be average, ordinary, mediocre every day of my life, to wake up and it's ho-hum and here we go and I'm living with this guy and it's okay, it's all right. I can't live like that. I choose to not live like that. I want to live like my husband said, that high fly ball, home run, over the fence, fireworks kind of love, that kind of a marriage. That's how I want to live. I don't want to live just average. And you might look at me and just say, Mrs. Rule, is that even possible? Like, is that even real? It is with God. It is with God. We can have an amazing marriage when God is in the center of our marriage. We can do it because God created marriage. God designed it, and he has the perfect plan. And once we follow that perfect plan of marriage, it can be just that. It can be absolutely fabulous and amazing and wonderful, and we can love being married, and we can enjoy it. Now, I do know that life has difficulties. We all know that. Life comes with problems and hard times and sorrows and sadness. Those things can hit our marriage. What I think about is a husband and wife holding on to an umbrella. And we're holding on, and the storms come. The rain comes down, and the wind blows. And, you know, they say that marriage was made in heaven, but so was thunder and lightning, too. That was made in heaven, too. But sometimes the storms come, and we're both hanging on to that umbrella. Now, sometimes you might go through times in your marriage where it's like a blizzard, or it might be a hurricane, or maybe a tsunami. I don't know. But what I'm telling you, ladies, is don't ever let go. Don't ever let go. I'm not a talented person. I am not. But I'm not a quitter. And I'm telling all of you here today, don't be a quitter. Hang on. Hang on. The storms are going to come sometimes. Sometimes that rain is going to beat down and beat down. But ladies, if we never let go, and if we hang on to our marriage, you know what? After the storm, what happens? The sun comes out. The sun always comes out after the storm. We've been married for 47 years. When my husband and I got married, I did not grow up in a Christian home. He grew up in such a broken home. We were two imperfect people coming together under the same roof. He brought his baggage. I brought mine. And, you know, sometimes that can be tough. It can be tough. And there can be those hard times. But my husband and I are not quitters, and you just have to get through those hard times and work it out and hang on. Hang on to that umbrella and don't ever let go. Let me ask you a question. I know in this group of ladies here, and I've seen some of you and what you do, who in your church, if you needed someone to decorate, who would be the person you would call on to decorate? Who's known for their decorating? Who is? Who, right there? You? Her right there? Oh, you're pointing to each other, both of you? Okay. So you guys are great decorators. You've been known for that. Okay. Who in your church is known for being like a super good cook? Like the food has been amazing, amazing, amazing. Okay, yes, I've eaten it, and I agree. It's excellent, excellent food. Is there someone who's like a baker who's known for making the sweets, the cinnamon rolls or the cupcakes? Oh, same one? Okay, wow, okay, you got all that talent. When God came to me, I didn't get any of that. Okay, who in here is known for being a great mom? Who's known for just being a great mom? Some of you? Okay, you're known for that. You're known for being a great mom. Maybe you're known for being a great Sunday school teacher. Maybe you're known for being a soul winner. Do you know all those things are such great things? They are. But the most important thing is, first of all, our walk with God, that every day we're in God's word and we're reading his love letter. This is his love letter to us that he wants us to open up every day as he gives his love to us. So first of all, we want to walk with God. That's the most important thing. But, you know, right after that, we're going to be accountable to God for how good of a wife were we. That's our most important relationship. And so how good of a wife, when we stand before God all by ourselves, he's going to look at us, how good of a wife were we to our husband? You know, we can think we're doing a pretty good job. I thought I was doing a pretty good job. I mean, have coffee ready in the morning, he's got clean underwear and socks in the drawer, so, you know, I'm doing such a good job. The house is clean. The fridge is well stocked with a whole bunch of food. Once a week, I feed him the 7-course meal. I mean, I think I'm doing pretty good, you know. I'm being a good wife, right? I'm doing pretty good. But actually, there's a lot more to that. I don't want to be just a medium average wife, and I don't think that that's what you would want either. When we can have the choice to live up here and be a fabulous, extraordinary, amazing wife, wouldn't you rather live up here instead of down here? That's what I would do. So I'm going to go through some points today. How can we be the best wife ever? How can we be that extraordinary wife to our husband? Now, you're looking at someone who is very imperfect. I feel like I have made all the mistakes, so I'm going to tell you what not to do that I've already done. You're looking at someone who is not a perfect wife, but I love my husband so much, and I strive and want to be what he needs me to be to him. All right, so number one on this I'm going to talk about. Now, I'm waving this, okay, because number one, okay, don't hate me. Number one, I'm going to talk about intimacy, all right? And you're saying, really, Mrs. Rule, you're going to start with that? We're going to jump right into that? I mean, they think about it all the time. That's all they think about. No, actually, they think about sports, and they think about food. They think about those things, too. But I'm going to read something to you from God's Word in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and it says, "Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife." So, there you have it, okay? There you have it. There was this couple that was having some trouble in their marriage, and they went to a counselor, and the counselor met with the husband first. And the husband was like, we're not intimate enough. It's never enough. It's only 2 to 3 times a week. It's not enough. And then the counselor talked to the wife by herself, and she goes, it's all the time. It's 2 to 3 times a week. It's all the time. You see, it's just a different perspective. God made us so differently. We are wired so differently. Like I said, I did not read a book on marriage. I just fell in love and just got married, and that's how it was. I didn't know that this was a need for a man. Like, just like we need to have air, like we have to breathe, we have to have it. That's how this part of a marriage is for a man. Now, personally, I think all the men got together and made a pact. And every time a man child is born, I think that they communicate and they say, make sure you tell him it's a need. Make sure you tell him it's a need. No, I don't know. But they're just wired so much differently than we are. Here's the thing, ladies. They crave our bodies. They do. That's what they crave. Now, I am made differently. I crave a good cup of coffee. I crave chocolate and caramel and sweets. Sometimes I crave unhealthy, good old French fries. See, I crave stuff like that, but they're different. They crave us. They just want us. That's what they crave. See, men are turned on by sight. I am not so much. Now, I'm not dead, but if I'm driving the car and I see a billboard and I see this good-looking guy who's advertising a gym and he's very well built and very well put together, I see it, I notice it, but as soon as I drive by the billboard, it's out of my head. It's gone. It doesn't linger with me. But a man is turned on by sight. So ladies, when we get ready for bed at night and we go into our closet and we hurry up and change our clothes and we turn off the lights and we run and we hop into bed and pull the sheets up to our neck, no man is excited by that. There's not one that is excited by that at all. But you see, we're so conscious of ourselves, and we are so critical of ourselves. And when we look in a mirror, we're like, oh, man, but a husband is not that way. A husband is not critical like we are to our own self. We look at in a mirror, and we see all of our imperfections, but a man is just so happy to have a lady in bed with him. Like, he's just so happy about that. Like, they're just thrilled. But see, we've grown up with this image, like we just have to be so perfect. You know, it's on social media, it's on TV commercials. We see it on Hollywood and how the actresses look and how that's just been ingrained in our minds that we're supposed to have this perfect body. You know, growing up, like, I didn't really play with Barbies, but like a Barbie doll, like even a little girl's minds, like it's projected to them, you know, you should grow up and have this perfect body. But if you took a Barbie doll and you made her into a real-life woman, her measurements would be 44, 22, 36. She would be so heavy, she would just fall over. She wouldn't even be able to walk. So, see, it's just not even real. It's not even real. And so we just have to remember that our husbands, they just want us. Now, how many of you are list people? Like, you like to make lists to get things done. I'm a list person. I just brings me great joy. I got that done, check. I got that done, check. That just makes me feel so good. Well, this part of marriage cannot be like that. It's so easy for me to be like, okay, I got to clean the kitchen, check, feed the dog, check, make the kids' lunches, check, oh, make love with my husband, check, yeah, done, got that, okay, we're good. It'd be so easy for me to do that. But, you know, men can see right through us. They know. They know if we're doing this out of duty or do we really desire our husband? Do we really want him? They want to know that they are desired by us, that we want them. Did you know that when we do that in this part of marriage, it adds to them feeling respected by us? When we want them, when we desire them, it helps our husbands to feel respected. Now, another part of this is to be responsive. Now, I did learn this the hard way. And one time I was standing at the kitchen sink and my husband came from behind me, and put his arms behind me and started whispering some sweet nothings in my ear. And I knew what he was talking about. And it had been a long day. I'd worked all day. I'd made dinner. And I was cleaning up all the pots and pans. And I said, babe, I hear you. I gotta finish watching these pots and pans. I got to make the kids' lunches. And then I've got to put something together for Johnny, and I've got to do this, and I've got to do that. And yeah, I'll be upstairs. Yeah, I'll be there. That was not good. That did not go over well. Because, see, our husbands want us to be responsive. So the next time my husband came up behind me and put his arms around me and whispered those sweet nothings in my ear, the next time I just stopped washing the dishes, and I said, gotcha, I will race you upstairs. I bet I'll beat you. And he loved that. He loved it. That was so much better. I responded so much better that time. But ladies, here's the thing. Many of you are so great at being an activities director. How many of you like to plan like birthday parties for your kids or some kind of surprise for someone? You just had a bridal shower here. All the planning for that, it's so fun to plan different things, right? Surprises, birthday parties for our kids, our friends, whoever. You guys are great at that. And making someone's day and doing surprises. One time my husband and I, years ago, we had a family that lived here in Southern California, and they had four little kids. It was Christmas Day, and we flew down here. We got a rental car. We went to their house. We're sitting in the driveway, and the kids were on a scavenger hunt, and they were in the backyard. And the last clue was, go to the front room where your new tent is and open it up. Well, meanwhile, my husband and I got through the front door. We got into the tent. We're sitting in the tent. And so the four kids come running from the outside. They got their last clue. We can hear them running through the house. And they come to the tent, and they open the flap of the tent. And there sits Nana and Papa. And these four little kids just jumped in the tent. They jumped on us. We're laughing. We're hugging. It was such a wonderful surprise. It was so great. See, we're good at doing that for grandkids, for friends. What about the person who's most important to us? Are we a good activities director? Let me tell you something that I did. I am a very private person. And I needed to up my game. And so I wanted to pursue my husband. I wanted to show some initiative because a man likes that. And so I thought, okay, what could I do? What could I do that would be totally out of the box? Now, you guys can't tell anyone this story, okay? Like, that's going to happen. But so this was years and years ago when you could go to the gate. When you went to the airport, you could go right to the gate. I miss those days when you could go to the gate and greet your loved ones as they got off the plane. It was always so nice. But anyway, my husband had been gone for a long time preaching somewhere. And so I had an idea. Oh, this is going to be so good. So I took a shower, and I stepped out of the shower. My hair was already done. My makeup was done. I took a shower. I stepped out of the shower. I put a coat on, and I got my purse, and I got into the car, and I drove an hour and a half to the airport. I parked the car. I went to security, which was different back then, thank the Lord. And I was sweating a little bit, but I got through security, and I went to the gate, and his plane was an hour delayed. I was just sweating bullets, like, come on. I'm sitting there. I'm feeling like people walking by are just looking at me. They could see through my coat is what I felt like. And so finally he got off the plane. He got there. We hugged. We kissed. It was so great. and I didn't even take him home. I took him to a B&B. Now that was A+ in his book. I scored points that day for sure. I should have. That was totally out of the box for me. But see, we do it for everyone else. Why not do it for the person who's most important to us? Let's be that activities director for him. One time I did something and it did not go so well. And I had a family that lived next to me, one of our own families that lived next to me, and they had three little girls. And my husband hadn't gone a long time, and someone else picked him up from the airport. And we come in through the garage at our house, and then you come into the house. And so I started with rose petals right when he'd open up the garage door. I had rose petals on the floor, all the way into the house, all the way upstairs. And in the bedroom, I had this big, white, soft, cushiony throw blanket, and I had candles and music and chocolate-covered strawberries and little sparkling cider, and I just had all the things. It was so great. I was so excited. And I heard the car come, and I heard the car come down the driveway, and I was all ready to go. What I did not know is that the three grandkids came running out of the house to see Papa, too, because they miss Papa. But they followed Papa into the garage. And they're like, Papa, why is all this stuff all over the floor? Papa, why are all these flowers? Where does it go? Let's go. Let's go find and see where it goes. I'm like, no. Honey, don't let them come up here. No, it's not going to work. What I'm saying is we can plan things. We plan other things. Let's plan some things. Let's make it fun with our husband, the person who's the most important person in our life. Let's do that. What's happening today is people that should not be engaging in this are. And those of us who have a license are not. It's like it's upside down. You know, ladies, let's be romantic. Let's hold their hand. Let's give a touch. Let's give a hug. You know, when we do that, we're saying to them, you are important to me. You are. And I'm so glad you're mine. And I get to be yours. And so let's be like that. Let's show that affection to them. And then, ladies, then let's kiss. Let's kiss them. Now, I see couples, the longer they're married, the kiss becomes less and less and less and less. It's almost like this little nanosecond, just a peck. Like, it's not even a kiss. I don't even call that a kiss. That's like a kiss you'd give your grandma. That's not how it should be at all. We need to up our game in this area. And so I'm going to give you an assignment. So tomorrow morning when you come to church, and if you come with your husband and you get out of the car, I'm going to dare you. I'm going to dare you to stop and hug your husband and give him a kiss right there in the church parking lot. Now, if the other people look at you, just go, hey, I'm married. It's good. So I'm okay. I'm married. It's good. I mean, I'm telling you, this is going to be great. You need to do this. And this is going to be your assignment for tomorrow. I highly recommend this. This will be great. Okay, one last point in this, and I'm going to move on to something else. You've been so great. But just don't forget either that your bedroom is not the only room in your house. Okay, let's move on. All right. So, how to be the best wife ever? How can we live up here as a wife and not just a mediocre wife? Number two, do life with your husband. You know, marriage was not created for him to do his thing and the wife to do her thing, and they never do anything together. That's not what a marriage is about. Marriage is for the two people to come together and to enjoy life together. That's what marriage is for, to enjoy life together. Now, but sometimes we have to learn what they like might not be what we like. When I was at a state college, I didn't get saved till later in life. So I went to a state college, and yes, I was a gymnast. But when I was at college, there was a guy there. His name was Dave Voss. He was very good looking, very well put together. He, too, was on the football team. And, oh, my goodness, I've never seen a guy like this before. This is amazing. And so this was my first year of college. Here's what I would do. I would go to the library. And I would see where he was sitting, and then I would find a table in his view. So if he'd put his head up, I'd be right there. And he would see me, and I thought, oh, this is going to be so good. He's going to see me, and then he's going to ask me out. So great. He didn't even know I was alive. He didn't even know I existed. So finally, the next year, I came back to college, and it was in September, and there was a knock on my dorm door. Remember, this is a state college. And so I opened the door, and there stood Dave Voss. I would love to go. Yeah, that'd be great. So we started dating, and it started off good. But he was very quiet, but I was trying to work through that. Anyway, one day I asked him, I said, "Now, what does your family do? You're from Iowa. What do you do in Iowa? I don't know. What does your family do? What do you guys like?" And he said, "Well," he goes, "this is so great. This is so exciting. We are square dancing people. Every weekend we put costumes on and we square dance and it's so much fun." Check. Nope. Not that was not for me. I could not see myself living with someone every weekend doing square dancing. That was just not my thing. So that I had to break that up. That was not going to work. As good looking as he was, it was not going to work. So the question is, have I learned to love what my husband loves? Have I learned to love what my husband loves? Now, my husband, I married a quarterback of a football team. My husband loves football. He can watch a football game and a football game and a football game and a football game. And you say, "Well, Mrs. Rule, you must love football." Well, I love my husband. I love him. I thought I was doing so good. When he would watch a football game, I thought, I'll be in the same room. That's going to be good, right? I mean, I'm cleaning a drawer, I'm organizing, I'm doing, I look over at the TV every now and then, okay, is the red team winning or the blue team? I don't know. And I thought I was doing so good by being in the same room. Well, then that really wasn't good enough. So then, okay, I'll sit on the couch by him. So I sat on the couch by him. Now I had my paperwork on my computer and I'm doing all this work and every now and then I'd look up, okay. I didn't care. I really didn't care. So I thought, okay, Terry, you gotta do better than this. So when my husband turned 60 a number of years back, I thought, oh, I'm going to do something extraordinary, amazing. He loves football. So he loves Ohio State. He's from Ohio, and he loves Ohio State. So I bought tickets, 50-yard line, fourth row up. I mean, amazing seat, amazing. Now, that was happy birthday, Merry Christmas, happy July 4th, happy Valentine's Day, happy Hanukkah. It was all of them. I mean, I spent good money on those tickets. And we flew there, and we went to the Ohio State Stadium, and we had those amazing seats. Now, I kind of was there for the food. I got the brat, the popcorn, you know. I thought I was doing great. But I had so much fun. I loved it, and I had a great time. And just seeing his face and the joy on his face and the big smile, it was worth everything. So we need to learn to do what they love to do. Now, since then, you know, I've been to the Rose Bowl, and I've been to the Cotton Bowl, and you know what? Now I love it. I absolutely love to watch a football game with my husband, and you know what my husband likes? He likes his wife sitting by him and enjoying it with him. And so sometimes that's what we need to do. And then my next question under this is, why would your husband want to spend time with you? Are you fun to be with? Am I fun to be with? Ladies, I can be really fun. I can. When I'm out with my girlfriends for lunch, when I'm out with my girlfriends for coffee, when I'm with my grandkids, I can be a lot of fun to be with. I really can be a lot of fun. But am I that way when I'm with my husband? Or is it he walks in the door? "Hey, how are you? Good. How's your day? Good." Is that fun? No, it's not fun. That's not fun at all. And so we want to be fun to be with. We don't want our husband driving home from work. He's driving home from work and he's thinking, okay, what is she going to be like today? Is she going to be happy? Is she going to be angry? Is she going to be complaining about something? Did the kids get to her? Is she anxious? Is she just full of anxiety? Is she crying? I don't know. What's it going to be like when I walk in that door? We don't want it to be like that. We want our husbands to want to come home and to want to spend time with us. That's the kind of wife that we want to be. And we want to enjoy doing things together. One thing my husband loves is ministry. My husband came from a very broken home, a lot of horrible things. And my husband, honestly, he just wants to please God. He loves to serve God. And so I want to come alongside, and I want to do that with my husband. And if you can find some ministry that you can do with your husband, I'm telling you, it is one of the best things. It is absolutely one of the best. We flew here yesterday, Friday, so on Thursday morning, I got up and I ran a couple miles because I'm just trying to work on some health things and some heart issues, and so I ran a couple miles, and then I had 25 ladies for dinner. They were widows and single ladies because I know that Valentine's Day is not a great day for everyone, and it's a hard day for some ladies. So my husband and I got together, and we did this together as a team. And we had a meal for them. Now, they came at 3 o'clock because some of them have to drive home before it gets dark. So we did our meal at 3 o'clock, and we had all them, and it was such a sweet, sweet time. Then we cleaned up the kitchen, we cleaned up the house, and we jumped in the car. We went to the hospital for a dear, dear friend of ours who had a stroke. And then we went to the rehab where a dear, sweet lady had had a really bad fall, had a very bad concussion, and we went and visited her. And then we came home. And we did all that together, and you know, it was a wonderful day. It was a wonderful day, the two of us doing life together. And that's what a marriage should be, is doing life together and doing life with your husband. Be your husband's best friend. Just be that person that he wants to be with. All right, next point, we need to serve our husbands. And I'll try to talk quickly. We need to serve our husbands. And you're going to say, Mrs. Rule, serve our husbands. My goodness, we're already doing so much stuff already. Like, we've got the work, and we've got kids, and we've got to keep the house clean, and our family wants to eat every single day. We have to come up with a dinner, and it's too much already. And maybe you felt like I have sometimes. We feel like a snapdragon. Half of us is snapped, and the other part is just dragon. And we're barely getting everything done as it is. But I'm telling you, ladies, the Bible teaches that the greatest of all is a servant, is being a servant. And our husbands should be our number one ministry. That's where our servanthood should be, is to our husbands. But here's what's happened to us sometimes. Maybe the pastor says, hey, who can make 40 dozen cupcakes? Oh, I'll do it, I'll do it. Who could make a meal for the teens? Oh, I'll do it, I'll do it. Who could decorate for this or that? Oh, I'll do it, I'll do it. And we add all these things on our plate because, see, sometimes when we're out in public, then we get some praise. People appreciate us. They thank us. And then we feel like we have some value. Because sometimes when we do things for our husbands, maybe there isn't a thank you. Maybe there's not. But that's not why we serve, is it? That's not why we do things. It talks about in Genesis 2:18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him. Our husbands are our number one ministry. Honey, how are you doing? What can I do for you today? Is all his clothes ready for the day? Does he have the right food? And what can I take off your plate today? I'm going to be in town running errands. Is there an errand I can run for you today? How can we be a help to our husbands? In 2 Corinthians 11:9, it says, neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman was created for the man. We want to be a helpmeet. When my son got married, when Gabe married Susanna, they had this thing where Gabe always put gas in her car. She never had to put gas in her car, never. And you know, I have to say it, Faith, I had a really bad attitude at first. I really did, I had a bad attitude. Well, your dad never did that for me. I've put gas in the car thousands of times. And I really wasn't happy about this at first. But then I had to think about it, and I thought, you know what? I know how to put gas in a car. I can do that. My husband's busy. If this is one thing that I can do to help him, well, I'm going to do it. I can put gas in my car. And, you know, ladies, we don't have to wait till the trash is overflowing and all over the kitchen floor just because that's his job. We can do that. Like, I've taken out trash many times. It's okay. We heat our house with a wood-burning stove. Sometimes the wood's getting low. My husband's busy. I know where the wood is. I can take the wheelbarrow. I can go get the wood and bring it into the house and work out and help out that way. See, we're a team. It's not you just do this and you just do that. No, we help each other. We become a team, and that's what a good marriage should be, is helping each other and being that team. It says in Proverbs 31 that she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. And you know, when we're served, we're being just like Christ. We get this opportunity to be Christ-like. And, you know, Jesus came. He washed the feet of the disciples. He did that. And we have that opportunity to be like Christ as we serve our husbands. It's a wonderful opportunity. Next one, respect and admiration. Respect and admiration. This one is foreign in our country today. I feel like our world is upside down. You know, there was the old TV show, Everybody Loves Raymond, and many other sitcoms like that, where the husband is belittled and the husband is made to feel so small. And that is not the way God wants a marriage to be. You know, the heart of us women is, in a marriage, we want to be loved. We do. We just want to be cherished and loved. The heart of a man in a marriage is he wants to be admired. He wants to be praised. He wants that. He wants to know that they are number one with us. Babe, you are my hero. You are my number one. Our husbands want to know that. They need to know that. They need to be admired. They need to know that they are our knight in shining armor. If a famous person walked into my house, a famous person, I would run right over there. I'm so glad you're here. Now, when my kids were at home and my husband walked in the door, my kids ran to, Daddy's home, Daddy's home. And it was so great. And they were there to greet him. And then eventually I would come and give him a hug and welcome home, babe. Well, my kids aren't there anymore. It's only me. I'm the only one. So now if my husband comes home and I'm upstairs, it could be, honey, I'm home. Okay. That isn't showing very much admiration, is it? Not at all. It's not appreciating him. No, I want you to go down there and, babe, I'm so glad you're home. And that makes a husband feel appreciated and admired. You know, we can show it in our conversation. I've heard some wives say before, oh, my husband, he just has dirty clothes all over the floor. All I have to do, I'll be able to pick up his clothes, pick up all his stuff. He just leaves stuff all over. Is that showing admiration to a husband? It's not. You know, some of these things might be true, but we don't need to voice them. We don't need to say them. Even in public. Now, I didn't know my husband was going to call me up here, but did you notice when my husband was speaking, where was I looking? At my husband, right? I was looking at him, because people will feel towards a man how the wife feels towards the husband. So if I'm showing my husband respect, people will follow that, and they will respect that man. So see, we have such an important role. We want to respect and admire our husbands. They need that. And we want to be thankful and appreciate them. You know, if I've worked hard all day long and I've cleaned the house and worked so hard, and my husband walks in and he doesn't say anything at all, and just, I'm like, okay. But if my husband were to walk in and say, babe, you cleaned the house. It looks so good. It looks so nice. Honey, thanks for cleaning the house. Thank you. It looks nice. I'd be like, well, thank you, honey. You know, it'd make me want to keep it up. It'd make me want to do it again. I felt appreciated. Even though that's my job to do, I felt appreciated. So let's do that to our husbands. Honey, thanks for taking time. Honey, thanks for taking time with the kids. Babe, thanks for washing the car. It looks so good. We need to be a thankful wife for the big things, the little things. This is so important to Jesus, because remember the story of the lepers? And 10 were healed and only one came back? And Jesus said, well, where's the other 9? Where are they? He noticed the ones that were not thankful. So let us be a wife that's thankful, that shows our appreciation, that praises them. Babe, you are looking good today. Those jeans are working for you. Man, you are so handsome. I'm so glad I get to be married to you. And you fill in the rest of the blanks, the things that you want to say. But be that mirror that reflects back to your husband, not criticism, not putting down, not belittling him, but be that mirror that reflects back praise, admiration, positivity, thankfulness, and that will help you have a great marriage. Right, my last point is, and I know we're out of time, my last point is, and I'm waving this one more time, truth, peace, submit. I'm going to use the S word, submit. And of course, it says in Ephesians chapter 5, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Ladies, this is not a bad word. It is not. I am thankful for it. I did not know how God wanted a marriage to work. I did not know. And God created the husband and God created the wife. And God loves the husband and God loves the wife the same. He loves us the same. One is not better than the other one. There just has to be an order to the home. We can't have two heads. It's not going to work. And so God made the husband the head of the home. And then we follow the husband. Now, the husband has to answer to God for how he leads the home. That's a huge responsibility, huge. We answer to God for how we follow our husband. You know, sometimes you might say, Mrs. Rule, that's really hard for me to do. You know, sometimes that's hard for me to do too. But I really want to be what God wants me to be. That's what I want. I want to please God as a wife to my husband. You know, I grew up in a home where my mom was 100% German. My mom ran the home. I It did not work at all. And so one time my husband said, honey, let's have a churchyard sale. Let's make it amazing. We'll do this churchyard sale. He goes, let's put something big out there. We didn't have anything big. And so he said, let's take our living room furniture and we'll put it out there and sell it. And I'm thinking, we don't have anything else. That's all we have. And I did not want to do it. I didn't. That's all we had. We lived very simply. But finally said, okay, babe, put it out there. Because I'm thinking, oh, we'll get new, right? We'll get some new furniture. Okay, yeah, put it out there. Put it out there. It'd be great. We're going to get new furniture. It'd be so good. And it sold. It was great. I went a month, 6 months. I went over a year with the hunter. Store and they say, here, check out whatever you want for your family. Oh, that's your good stuff. All of those things are green. Here. That's fine. That's my box. That's my box. I like it. The truck is going to break. There's a truck going to break. The husband is the head of the home. And I'm going to finish with this thought, ladies. I still remember my mom and dad. I grew up in the 50s and the 60s. I can still see them. They're very practical people. I can see my mom in her house dress and my dad in his trousers and his collared shirt. And I think my mom was the recycle queen. She would take foil and wash it again and reuse it and wash it again and reuse it. And my dad died in 2001. And then 10 years later, my mom died. How many in here have lost both parents? Both their parents are gone. Isn't it something when the second parent goes and you have no parents? It hit me when my second parent died. I was like, something that I cherished and loved so much was gone, never to come back again. And that was hard. And see, that's the same with our marriages. Ladies, what we have, what we get to have, is something so special to be married. Let's cherish it. Let's invest it. Let's love it. Let's keep it. If some part of it's broken, then let's just fix it. Let's not throw it away, but let's fix it and let's make it great. And ladies, just work on being the best wife ever. Don't be medium or average or mediocre, but live up here. Be the best wife you can be for your husband. Be extraordinary, fabulous, amazing. And then you can have that high fly ball, over the fence, home run, fireworks kind of marriage with God right in the center. And I wish that for every single one of you. And I love you, and thanks for listening. And happy Valentine's Day to all of you. Thank you.